This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, it's back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back?
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show. For Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Did I screw around with the mic? Oh, boy. Switch mics. Bobby, you can fix that one again. I'm not messing around with no mic issues. Not for the final hour. Plus, heading out of town. I'll be away these next couple days. We'll be back on Tuesday. I ain't got time to worry about mic problems. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast. Podcasts are also available online at charlestonsportsradio.com. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always get in touch with the show online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Just click on our show page, leave a comment there. Get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays. Through the text line, 843-608-1734. Or on the phones, 843-721-9500. We'll get to John Morant in just a moment. We'll get to Trent's takes this hour. We'll give away some Charleston Battery tickets. Still a lot to do here in this final hour. Oh, big win in the NHL. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit. But first and foremost, before we get to Ja Morant and a wild night in the NHL and everything else, did you see that Dave Chappelle got tackled last night during his stand-up routine, apparently?
Yeah, absolutely. Is this what we've come to now, Luke, where comedians are going on stage, especially in my eyes personally, the greatest of all time, that being Dave Chappelle, where he has, you know, patrons coming up and tackling him on stage. Now, I did see a video of the guy who went up there in the ambulance. I think Dave Chappelle's security detail did a number on him once they got to him, because his arm was bent in a way that a human's arm should not be bent, Luke. It was pretty nasty.
I would say rightfully so. You're going to go attack a comedian, like that's what you got coming to you. I saw a video where he was on the ground and there was a group of people like kicking him while he was down.
Yeah.
Literally. And then who knows if it's online or not, but I did see something about Chappelle, Jamie Foxx, and Busta Rhymes got to him afterwards backstage, almost like like when you're cheating at a casino and they take you to the back room. I don't know if that's accurate. I have no idea. If that is true, I wouldn't care. Good, beat the crap out of him.
Thanks, Will Smith.
Yeah, exactly. This was the concern when Will Smith did what he did, and everyone's saying, you know, now our comedians gonna have to worry about getting attacked. And it's somewhat interesting that a lot of people said if that was Dave Chappelle up there, would Will Smith go up there and slap him? Well, I mean, we kind of got an answer, not from Will Smith, but last night Chappelle was up there and he was still attacked. He was tackled during his performance. And then the guy had to leave in an ambulance because he took the worst of it.
His arm was so bent. I don't know what they did to him, Luke, but it was a very bad scene. Like you said, rightfully so. I mean, the guy, I'd throw him in jail for what he did. He'll probably go to jail, you know? You can't do that. You paid money to go see a comedian. If you don't like a joke, you don't like a joke. You don't have to laugh.
Yeah, I saw him cuffed to the gurney that they took him out on. So.
Yeah, he also had multiple weapons on him. Apparently.
Really?
Like, he had a knife on him and a couple other things as well, so I'm glad that nothing escalated.
Yeah, that's why you got to take it seriously, because these comedians, any performer, musicians, there's a terrible story. The guitarist for Pantera actually got murdered on the stage during a concert.
My goodness.
Somebody came on stage and shot him. So, yeah, you know, you're vulnerable as a performer. So I'm all for it. You want to play stupid games, win stupid prizes. You want to go try to tackle Dave Chappelle, you're going to get the crap beaten out of you, rightfully so. I don't condone violence, but if you're going to be the one acting like an idiot, you got that coming your way.
Especially to the king of kings, Dave Chappelle. Like, I feel like that's one of the untouchables, as well as Chris Rock. That's why it was so surprising. You know, like, Chris Rock's up there with the untouchables, Tom Segura, Dave Chappelle, all those guys.
You want to talk about a bad arm injury? I always think of Tom Segura's arm injury trying to play basketball.
That was horrible.
Well, actually, don't go see it because it's nasty. But
no.
If you're not familiar, Tom Zegar is a comedian. He was trying to play pickup. He was trying to dunk the basketball. And, had a hard time. Ended up breaking his arm and blowing out his knee.
He got to 9 feet. So
yeah,
good. They were doing a video where they were trying to – they started like 7 feet, him and Bert Kreischer. They were dunking basketballs. And Bert, like, tapped out at, I think, 8 or 8.5. And Tom went 8, 8.5, 9.
Yeah.
And then he went up to 9.5, and it was disastrous.
His knee blew out as he went to the lift. And then because of that, he fell backwards, and he fell on his arm, and he broke his arm too. That's a terrible injury.
Like every bone in his arm was broken.
Oh, yeah, it was bad. It's nasty looking. So anyways, and Chris Rock was there last night, I guess, when Chappelle got tackled.
Really?
And he came out afterwards and said, was that Will Smith? Or I didn't know Will Smith was here, something like that. Reportedly. I mean, who knows? I didn't watch the video. I saw there is a video of it, so I guess it's true. You can't lie about a video. But I saw that while we were on the air earlier.
There wasn't many videos because I do believe Chappelle's shows.
That's right.
Like, you lock up the phones.
That's true. Which, I don't know. I guess. I understand.
I get it at like the comedy clubs, you know, if somebody's working out material for a special.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
I understand. You don't
that's
want
true.
That to get out.
This was out with the Hollywood Bowl out there. So, anyways, that's the latest. That's the big story in the pop culture world. Dave Chappelle got tackled last night during his stand-up routine. Now, if I'm a stand-up comic, I'm a little worried. Gonna have to keep security on the side of the stage. Hey, last night, outside of that event with Dave Chappelle, the other craziness was what John Morant did to the Golden State Warriors. Both teams were in must-wins last night and ended up winning. The Celtics needed to win. The Grizzlies needed to win. You can't lose both on your home floor. And both teams came back and played better and made proper adjustments, especially the Celtics. They blew out the Bucks. This time, the Celtics shot it much better. They played better defense. On the flip side, the Bucks didn't shoot it as well. They weren't as good defensively. Celtics even up the series. Then you get to the Grizzlies and the Warriors. And as I said earlier, I compare it to the movie Death Sentence, which is a reference I use frequently because I always love that line. At the end of the movie with Kevin Bacon, if you haven't seen it, I recommend it. Spoiler alert. You may not have to see it after what I'm about to say. Came out 15 years ago, was filmed in this state. And Kevin Bacon's trying to seek revenge on a gang. It doesn't take place in South Carolina, I don't believe, but it was filmed here. He's trying to get revenge on a gang. And he's going after them. And there's all sorts of gun wars throughout the film and everything. And he wipes them all out. But in the very last scene, he's sitting with, like, the leader of the gang who, as that guy is slowly dying. And Kevin Bacon makes it out alive. And the guy says to him, you know, he's laughing at Kevin Bacon. And Kevin's kind of realizing or wondering, like, what are you laughing at? And he says, I turned you into exactly what you hated. You became one of us. Well, that's what's going on in this series. With how physical the Warriors were, the Grizzlies responded last night and led to the injury of Gary Payton Jr. But when you're going to come out and beat us up and knock us around like he did in the first game and Draymond Green gets kicked out, and you know, he's a very physical guy. It's a physical team. And maybe even trying to intimidate the young Grizzlies. They're saying, no, not so fast. Not on our home floor. We're the number two seed. We got Ja Morant. We're the new kids on the block. And they came out, and they were physical last night. And this is an old-school series. And it should be fun the rest of the way and probably becomes even more physical. We've had a player kicked out each of the first two games. And it's reminiscent of back in the day with the old school Pistons or the NBA in the 90s where it was physical. And there were hard fouls and there were scuffles like last night and even maybe some players getting kicked out. And that's why Ja Morant, that's part of the reason why this reminds me of a little Michael Jordan from 30 years ago. I always hesitate to make any sort of comparisons because I'm not telling you Ja is going to be the next Michael Jordan. I don't think he will. Michael Jordan, to me, is the greatest player of all time. And you'll be hard-pressed to find somebody else to come along and pass him. Let alone LeBron James. But just the fact that you try to look at the comparisons to this series and the now compared to about 30 years ago, just over 30 years ago, to Jordan against the Pistons. And the Pistons had won back-to-back titles, and you had Isaiah Thomas, and they were, along with the Lakers and the Celtics, the Pistons were also, you know, the champions. And they were a very physical team, and they would beat you up, and there'd be fights out there, and it'd be tough. And they had Isaiah Thomas, and they had a lot of talented veterans. This Golden State team, right, formerly defending champions, had a dynasty. You have those veteran, experienced, talented, top-of-the-league players. Steph Curry can be the Isaiah Thomas. You have the physical, tough players like Draymond Green, much like Lambeer. You have even a good coach, Steve Kerr, on the sidelines for what he's accomplished, kind of like Chuck Daly back then. And on the other side of the matchup, you had a young Michael Jordan in the 80s going into the 90s who was clearly a star and was the best player in the league or certainly at least one of them at that point. but could never get past the Pistons, and he was trying to do it on his own, and they would beat the crap out of him. The Pistons were just a good team, and they were more well-rounded, and they had that championship pedigree. It's somewhat similar. It's not a perfect example, but it's a similar comp to now John Morant, who is not the best player in the league yet, but he's one of the next young stars. And he's trying to make it through against the Warriors, really kind of on his own, and beat a Warriors team that is more physical, has won more experience. You got Steph Curry and Steve Kerr over there. And Morant, as a star, is trying to do it on his own and beat this team. And last night went for 47 points and a near triple-double. And he was fantastic. Now joins LeBron and Kobe as the only players to have multiple 45-plus point scoring games in the playoffs before they turn 23. And this is how you become a star. Now, here was Ja Morant talking to the TNT crew after the game last night and was talking about if this was his best performance and what was behind it.
Definitely up there. I felt like, you know, this was kind of a must-win game for us. And, you know, for me, I was frustrated with myself with, you know, missing that layup in game one. Had some, you know, friendly words with Steph. You know, after game one, he came to me and Jaren and said, it's going to be a battle. You know, we're going to have some fun. And I was able to, you know, return that message tonight.
Yeah, and this is how you become a star. Not only that fire, that's what you need. It's what James Harden's lacking. It's why we always criticize him. It's what Kevin Durant seemed to be lacking this year. It's what Kyrie Irving's lacking a lot of times. He's never out there for his team. He misses a lot of games. He takes time off, doesn't want to get vaccinated. Look, we're not going to have that discussion, but you know that if you don't, you're not going to be there for your team throughout this year. Eh, that's okay. Now you just see athletes, especially in the NBA, they're making a ton of money, guaranteed contracts, filthy rich. They don't always care. Load management, they don't play all the games. So to see somebody like Ja, who was upset, he missed that. He played really well in game one, but he missed potentially the game-winning basket. He said, you know what? I'm going to make up for it. I'm going to get back that victory. And he sure did last night. And there was that fire and that drive in a big game for him to come out and play that well. And that's what you were waiting to see from Durant this year. We've seen it in the past, but not this year. It's why it was so disappointing. You thought each time, the next game, he'll be better. And he wasn't. Similar with James Harden. Now Embiid's injured. You're thinking, all right, Harden's going to take over. He didn't play well last game. He's got to have some sort of competitive fire. And no, still not really doing a whole lot out there. You know, fourth leading scorer on the team. Not putting the team, or at least trying to put the team on his back. But Ja did last night. And when you play this well in these big of moments, that's when you truly become a superstar. And that's what Ja Morant is doing. Whether it was the series against the Timberwolves, now this series against the Warriors of all teams. And on top of all, if he's able to shoot as well as he did from outside, then he's really tough to stop. He had four threes the entire series against the Timberwolves. He hit five last night. He had four or five in game one as well. Right? If you're knocking down threes as well, now Ja becomes incredibly difficult to try to stop. Here was the Get Up crew. Mike Greenberg, J.J. Redick, J.B. Bickerstaff breaking down Ja Morant's performance and what makes him so impressive.
A moment on Ja. I mean, you, JB, you're the ultimate lifer in the sport and obviously a coach. How do you put into words what we're seeing in Ja Morant right now?
It's phenomenal. You can't put it into words. You have to sit back, just watch it, and enjoy the show. You're seeing a guy escalate his game from a young player to a superstar player in this league, and he's clutch, and that's what it comes down to. You've got to be able to make plays at the end of the game and in fourth quarters, and you got to make them on your own, and we're seeing he can do that.
How about it? I mean, I was trying to come up with adjectives as I was going through this highlight before we started to describe Ja Morant, and I can't do it, JJ. He's just too good.
Fearless. That's the adjective. Look, he's at the top of the league in points in the paint. He's a 6'1", 170-pound guard. He lines you up. He uses his quickness, that drop dribble spin to the floater that he had in the second to last clip. Like, that is elite shot making, elite creativity.
There's nothing he can't do. He'll do it inside, he'll do it outside. He's got exactly the mentality that you want. He's got sort of an old school mentality and a new school game.
That old school mentality maybe helps my comparison to Michael Jordan of 30 years ago. Not telling you he's going to be the next Jordan, but boy, is he tough to stop, especially if he continues to develop that outside shot. And we know he's incredibly talented on the floor, but if you go for 47 in a playoff game, and if you win a series against the Warriors, and as the youngest team in the league, you get this team to the Western Conference Finals, right, you're on your way to becoming certainly one of the superstars of the league if you're not there already. He's not even 23 years old yet. We know he's really talented, but we've seen a lot of talented guys come through the league. The difference is those that can win in the big spots, those that can score 47 points in a big game last night, including the final 15 points for their team in the game. Outscoring the Warriors by himself in the final minutes. Right? That's what makes a superstar. We've seen talented players not play well enough in the postseason. Go back to James Harden. Mostly Donovan Mitchell. Luka Doncic has played well, but until a couple days ago, never won a series in the playoffs. Right, you have to be able to win, carry the team to victories, play well in these big spots. Those are the boxes to check to become a superstar, and Morant certainly is doing that, and shy of his 23rd birthday, is quickly becoming one of the stars of the league if he's not already there. Now, last night, not only did we have Dave Chappelle get tackled, not only did we have Ja Morant go off for 47, but we also had the longest hockey game ever played in Madison Square Garden. And this is not some sort of new arena. The Rangers are one of the oldest clubs of the NHL. MSG is not only the mecca for basketball, but it's a great arena for really any event, including the New York Rangers. They love the Rangers in New York. And so last night, the Rangers lost in three overtimes to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Now, the reason why this is a big deal, normally I don't care so much about the NHL playoffs. But suddenly I do, especially when it comes to the Penguins. Because Trent and I each picked a team for this postseason. I picked the Edmonton Oilers, as we discussed earlier this week. They lost game one of their series. And it was at home. And they were a pretty big favorite. So not a good start there. Meanwhile, Trent picked the Penguins. They just won on the road in New York in game one. 4-3 in triple overtime. As I mentioned, longest game in Madison Square Garden history. It was just about 5 hours long. This is a big start for Trent in this competition. My team lost at home. His team won on the road and did it in triple overtime. One of the craziest games. I actually was, along with the NBA, I was checking out this game last night too, once it goes into all these overtimes. First, let's hear how it sounded on, this was Penguins Radio. You can hear the exhaustion from the broadcasters. They've been at it for 5 hours, triple overtime in a playoff game. That is draining, not just for the players, but also even the fans and the broadcasters. You're sitting there for 5 hours. Here's how it sounded when the Penguins finally won on Pittsburgh Radio.
Over to McGinn. He's knocked down by Schneider. Rolls back down low. McGinn back to his feet to Kapanen behind the cage. Kapanen drifts to the far corner with it. Up the wall now. Back to the point for Marino. Wrist shot. Scores! Evgeny Malkin plays hero. The flex and pass Shesterkin. And you can slap it on the Broadway marquee. The Penguins take game one and lead this series 1-0.
Holy moly. Gino Machino with the deflection. Let's just take a minute.
Oh my goodness, what a game.
I need to take a breath before I tell you what happened.
Yeah, I mean, they were going on for 5 hours. I've been there before in regards to baseball. I've done 18-inning games. I think I did a 19-inning game. You're on the air for 6 hours. And when it's over, win or lose, there's almost like a sense of relief. Like, thank goodness. Now, look, you're just broadcasting. It's not the end of the world. But 6 hours on air trying to be on and sharp and broadcasting the game, that is tough. And obviously, they get breaks in intermission, but you get it. A playoff hockey game with that intensity, three overtimes, of course, it's incredibly difficult for the players. But even the fans watching at home, it's stressful. For the broadcasters, that's a long night. And eventually, the Penguins won just shy of midnight last night. So, Trent, a big first about 24 hours for you as my Oilers fall behind 1-0, lost by one goal at home, and the Penguins find a way to win last night in triple overtime.
Luke, it feels like 2009. You know, Sidney Crosby out there dishing the puck like we need him to. Malkin obviously finishing the game off in his fashion, also facilitating the puck. And Louis Domingue, are you kidding me? An absolute dog in the net. That's what we need. The goalies have been an issue all season long for my Pens, Luke. And Louis Domingue comes in and saves the day. I love where this team is going, but I will say, let's not get into these triple overtime games. We got some old guys on the team. I hate to say it. I hate to say Sidney Crosby's old, but he's an old guy. Malkin's an old guy as well. So we got to keep this, you know, at least a minimum, maximum one overtime. But great win. Good start to our little bet, Luke.
Yeah. So have we decided what's on the line in all this?
We're getting pies, right?
Is that official? Are we doing the millionaire pie?
You know, but we might have to, you know, somebody might have to get pied, whoever it is. You might have to buy a pie, the millionaire pie, yep. And then we just buy, you know, your run-of-the-mill average, you know, cream pie or something yep. like that, and, you know, somebody's going
right.
to get hit.
I like that. That's pretty good. All right, in that case, the Oilers, you better get going. And hopefully the Penguins are worn out after last night.
They should be. I mean.
I know. That was wild. Three overtime. This is what I like, right? In the NFL, this is what I said about the overtime rules in the NFL. You're so concerned about these games going on forever, yada, yada, yada. In the playoffs, I don't care. In hockey, they do like penalty shots. They do after the first overtime, right, to get the games over with. In regulation, in the regular season, that's fine. Once we get to the playoffs, I say throw all the stuff out the window. Best team wins. That game last night could have gone to seven overtimes, but eventually you're going to find a winner. And in the NFL, I said the same thing when they were going to adjust the overtime rules. I don't care if we go to three overtimes. Keep going back and forth until one team gets a stop. But my suggestion for the NFL come playoff time is you always get a rebuttal. The other team scores, all right, you'll always have your chance to match it. And if you can't, you lose. And I don't care if an NFL playoff game goes for 5 hours and it's three overtimes like this. The difference is in the NFL, you'll have a week to recover. And I know it's incredibly physical. You know, hockey's a pretty physical game too, and you're skating around. And they have to come back and play, I think, tomorrow, right? So, I mean, you just played a five-hour game last night. They're coming back less than 48 hours later. The NFL, at least you get a full week off. And sure, I know, you put your body through more in the NFL, but you get the idea. This is what I love about hockey. They'll go on all night till they get a winner. They don't care. They're not going to a shootout or anything. That's the regular season stuff.
The substitution in hockey, I think, helps these players as well to stay a little bit fresh, even if they're off the ice for, you know, a minute or two. And it is fascinating when you're watching a hockey game, Luke, because I don't watch too much hockey, seeing the way the game just operates. You know, like, it's always fascinating how quick everything goes.
Yes.
And it's so hard to keep track of the puck, and you realize how fast these guys are actually moving on a sheet of ice. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. No, that's crazy. Even just the line shifts, the line changes.
Yeah.
While the game's it's not a dead ball like in basketball and get your subs in and out. These guys are hustling in and out of the bench to get back out there. Now, you've grown up in the South, so it could be different, but did you ever go skating growing up? Can you ice skate?
Been skating about one time. Luke, mm-hmm. Can't do it. Not a fan of it. Been to the Ice Palace over here in Charleston maybe once or twice. Same thing with rollerblading. Not the biggest fan of
no?
it. I can't do it. You know, I was thinking one day I'd like to be a guy that just, you know, is moseying around with rollerblades all day, bring it back to the 80s, 90s. But, no, Luke, you know, I've never been good on the ice. I stay away from particular ice activities.
Yeah, I don't blame you. These guys are crazy to see these guys skate around. Even the refs, you got to be able to skate out there.
They're like the most impressive.
Yeah.
Like, the way they're stopping and starting and moving, it's crazy.
Sometimes I got to jump. You got to avoid these pucks. Last night, the Rangers goalie had 79 saves. That is absurd. And the Penguins, they had to make that goalie change. It was the first time ever that a team had to replace a goalie in the second overtime or later. And he told the story after the game that he thought, you know, they don't need me tonight. And it's been a long game. It was like the first overtime or whatever. He was hungry. So he went and ate 15 minutes before he had to go in there. He had spicy pork and broccoli. And then he went out there and won a playoff game in net.
Every night, Louie, that's what we need you to do. Eat your spicy pork, eat your broccoli before you get on the ice. That's what we need.
That's got to be tough. That's almost like having Chipotle or Taco Bell and then getting on a cross-country flight, right? Like, that's a tough thing. You're in goal, and you just had some spicy pork. That's probably not a good combination.
No, not easy. But, hey, if it works, if it keeps you, you know, if he gets saves, Luke, that's all I care about here for the Pens.
Yeah, wild. So, anyways, a little hockey talk that we're going to be breaking in most days. Mostly because of once the Penguins are out and the Oilers are out, I'll lose some of the interest. But for now, man, I was pulling for those Rangers last night, and they lost at home in three overtimes. We'll get to Trent Stakes coming up, and we still have to give away those battery tickets. We'll do that, too, coming up. Always save the best for last. Still more to do here in this final hour. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We'll get to Trent's takes in just a moment here on the Morrow Midday Show. Plus, stay tuned. We'll be giving away tickets in a few minutes to the Charleston Battery game Friday night. They're playing at home Friday night against Memphis 901 at 7 p.m. Friday. Only a few tickets left. At least that was the case this morning. They may be sold out by now. You could go find out online at charlestonbattery.com. Or stay tuned. We'll give away a pair of tickets to that game in just a few minutes. But we do it every day. We got caught up talking about John Sterling's mistakes last hour. So better late than never. It's time to find out what's on the mind of the producer with Trent's takes.
What's on the mind of the Morrow Midday Show producer?
Draft Luke Morrow.
That's right.
It's time for Trent's Takes.
The Radio Cowboy will be coming, and he's coming soon, folks. And welcome to Trent's Takes, ladies and gents. Now, Luke, obviously, I was locked into the NBA last night. It was a great, great night. And obviously, we've been talking about Ja Morant all day and how incredible he is on the basketball court. And it seems like every single playoff game, when they need a bucket, there is only one guy to go to, and that would be none other than Ja Morant. He had the last 14 points in I believe, Game 6 of the Minnesota series. He had the last 15 last night, and he continues to do that. When you see a basketball player like this, and this is Trent's Take, so I'm going to give out a hot take right here real quick. I'm on First Take right now. Me, Stephen A. Smith, what's going on? And I'm saying to him, if I was an NBA GM, and not one of these NBA GMs and owners that don't have deep pockets and they don't want to spend money. We're not talking about the Kings here. We're not talking about any other team. We're talking about teams that want to spend money. If I was a GM right now, the one player I would start a franchise with in the National Basketball Association would be none other than Ja Morant, Luke. I've watched this guy the entire playoffs. Obviously, he was an MVP candidate throughout the regular season. He seems like not only as young he is, for how young he is, he's an incredible team leader. He can score the basketball from anywhere on the floor. The only way to stop Ja Morant is if he's not hitting his deep threes, and that's it. You know, there's no, you can't stop the gentleman in the paint. He was, you know, second in the paint throughout the entire regular season, as you mentioned, Luke, in scoring. There's only one way to stop him, and the Warriors, you know, kind of shot themselves in the foot because they were defending him, you know, about 5 feet off, 10 feet off when he got to the perimeter, and he was hitting the shots. That is the only way to stop this man if he's not hitting his three-pointers. But I also would say for Ja, I would start a franchise with him right now and build around him. Steph Curry, whatever his over-under is for points come game three, Luke, take the over. Because this friendly banter going back and forth, they say it's friendly. Steph didn't seem too happy after last night when Ja gave him a little dap up and said, this is going to be fun. I would caution Ja Morant just a little bit. We're poking the bear, all right? We've seen Steph Curry do this not only in the regular season, in the playoffs. Luke, I'd put the over-under right now. I'm going over 45 points for Steph Curry come game three. This guy, he's going to go off. Warriors win game three. But Ja, I absolutely love the way he's playing, Luke. But let's make sure we're not poking the bear and that bear being Steph Curry.
I do agree with you there. It was kind of the Timberwolves that were doing the trash-talking before, and then the Grizzlies, when they finally won, then they were mocking the Timberwolves doing the gritty and everything, right? But the Timberwolves were punching up to the Grizzlies. Now the Grizzlies are kind of punching up towards the Warriors. I'm with you. I love Ja Morant's game. I love watching him play. I don't need some of the theatrics where he's talking to Steph Curry or some of the emotions. I like more of subtle players or some humility,
sure.
Which takes me to then Ja Morant's dad. I love that he is supporting his son and he is at every game. I was fortunate enough that my parents would be at all my events, but they were not running up and down the sidelines making a scene. You can support your kid and be there and be a great father at every game while just sitting in your seat watching the game instead of making it a whole thing. He's like a whole sideshow at these games. I'm sorry, I've had enough of T. Morant.
You've had enough of Ja's dad?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, well, it doesn't help that they put him courtside every single game, and that's usually parents aren't sitting courtside. They're kind of, you know, in the lower bowl, just kind of around. But, yeah, he is interesting. You see him running up and down. Hey, my pops, my mother, they never missed a game, so I love to see, you know, parents like Del Curry and Sonya Curry, mm-hmm. You know, they show up to damn near every single game Steph Curry plays in, which is awesome to see. But this series is going to be absolutely phenomenal. I hope it goes to 7 games so we can see more and more of this. Obviously, the Penguins get a massive win, Luke. That was very important to me. I, you know, wasn't watching up until, I believe, the third period, and then I had it on the laptop, and we were just going. I was thinking the same thing as you. I'm screaming at my computer, saying, let's go, let's go, let's go. Massive win for the Pens, Luke. And I also wanted to point out Jaylen Brown's crossover on Grayson Allen. Grayson Allen, I mean, look, I'm not a Duke guy, okay? I've said it before. I love Jason Tatum. Obviously, he went to Duke, and there are Duke players that I enjoy. But I've never been a Grayson Allen guy. And I don't think there is a lot of Grayson Allen guys out there. If you ask somebody, hey, you know, do you like Grayson Allen? I think 60-40 probably say, no, I don't. I think he's kind of a head case. But I love seeing the crossover. And also, back to Ja, we were talking about the young players in the league, you know, Jordan Poole, guys like that, Tyrese Maxey. Ja Morant made Jordan Poole look like a fool last night.
Yeah.
Not only on the beautiful crossover in the lane, I mean, it was like a double spin pivot. He turned around, made the shot, and Jordan Poole's ankles looked like they snapped in half. But that happened multiple times during the ball game, so I might temper my expectations just a tad on Jordan Poole, because it seems like there is a level. There's levels to this, as they say, you know. And Ja Morant seems like he's on a entirely other planet than Jordan Poole. Wasn't a great look for Poole last night, the way he was getting absolutely abused by Ja Morant.
Yeah, that's the most embarrassing thing that could happen to you on a basketball floor, is when you get crossed up so bad that you fall over.
Yeah.
Job's just obviously incredibly tough to guard, to defend, to stop, to stay in front of. That's why the Gary Payton Jr. injury could be huge, because he's the best defender they have to try to match up with Ja. And without him last night, Ja went off in the fourth quarter when nobody could guard him. So that would be a big loss for the Warriors. In regards to getting crossed up, Grayson Allen would probably have to be up there. If you said to a basketball fan you could choose one guy to get embarrassed by a crossover on the floor, I think Grayson Allen's pretty high on the list.
Oh, he's definitely, especially after the Alex Caruso thing, you know, where he broke his wrist and he was smiling after, and he was on social media saying some things. Yeah, I think he is a genuinely hated gentleman around the NBA. Unfortunately, no, hate to see a Duke player get so much hate, but Grayson Allen, yeah, he's up there, Luke. But, I mean, Boston, completely different team last night. I was incredibly surprised with the way that they played. When Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are hitting their shots, and I know Tatum didn't have an awesome game, but when Jaylen Brown's hitting those shots like that, that's an awesome piece. And to shut Milwaukee down, 89 points, if I'm not mistaken, without Marcus Smart, the defensive player of the year, I think for Boston fans, Luke, that is a phenomenal sign that, hey, the Bucks need Chris Middleton if they want to continue to win games. It was good for them to get one under the belt in Boston, but it seems like Boston has their rhythm now, and they're looking to go on a major run here and get the Bucks out, I think, in 5 or 6 games.
Wow, 5 or 6.
5 or 6.
Yeah, I think it took that first game to find their footing. They played much better yesterday. And as you said, Marcus Smart, they said he was out, and that scared a lot of people off. And people thought, like, oh, boy, the Celtics are in trouble tonight. And they played fantastic. And the Bucks made their fewest threes they've had in at least 5 years in a game. And that speaks to the defense from the Celtics. Look, they were the best defensive team statistically in the league this year. No Chris Middleton doesn't help for Milwaukee. So we'll see. I think this is going to be another good kind of long series as well. And we could go back and forth. But maybe last night is more indicative of what to expect in this series. Certainly was a big win for the Celtics, and they played really well.
No doubt. Last NBA thing, let's get a win tonight. Heat, we got to get one. We need one, Luke, here. I think, too, I said it, I believe, yesterday or the day before. Going up 2-0 is the most important thing right now. Without Joel Embiid on the floor, the Philadelphia 76ers are much different. James Harden is not aggressive at all. The Heat need to capitalize on this opportunity and get Philly out and get him out early, Luke. I wanted to touch on, you mentioned it a little bit, the Ryan Tannehill thing yesterday.
Yeah.
Talking about, you know, it's not my job to be a mentor to Malik Willis coming in this team. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I mean, kind of learn through osmosis. You guys are in the same quarterback room every single day. You're doing the same drills. People are acting like if Malik Willis goes up to a Ryan Tannehill and asks him a question about a play or something, they're acting like, you know, Ryan Tannehill's just going to shoo him off and say, you know, no, I'm not helping you whatsoever. That doesn't happen in a team environment. You have a teammate. You ask your teammate a question, they are going to respond. And now Kurt Warner's on Twitter basically being like, hey, if you need a mentor, you guys DM me if your starting quarterback's not giving it to you. I think this is all being incredibly blown out of the water here. Brett Favre said the same thing about Aaron Rodgers. You know, when he came in, it's not my job to mentor him. But you learn through osmosis. You're able to watch, you know, whoever's ahead of you on the depth chart. And that's just how a team works. Everybody helps each other. I know they drafted him to take your job eventually, but I just think this is getting blown way out of proportion. A team works together regardless of who's in the position at the time.
Yeah, I do think it is a bigger story, or it has become a bigger story than it really is. I don't have a strong opinion. I think my takeaway is that based off of what Tannehill said elsewhere in that press conference as well, look, he threw 3 interceptions in the playoff game. They played terribly. Now they draft a quarterback. I'm sure there's a sense of insecurity, and that's probably where that answer comes from, that he's not going to try to help someone else take his job, because right now the ice he's standing on is a little thinner than it was even just 8 months ago before that playoff game.
Right.
And he did talk about he was in a dark place after that loss and then go draft a quarterback, so that probably doesn't help. But my other two things would be, number one, this is what we always think of athletes as being ultra competitive, so it's almost like Tannehill, you know, if you're the best guy for the job, you shouldn't worry. Just go out there and beat him for the starting job, even if you mentor him along the way. But the third aspect of it, too, is that I always appreciate when athletes are honest, but sometimes maybe it is better to just give, like, the political answer. And even if you're lying to the media, just say you are. Almost like, you know, if your wife or girlfriend says, like, does this dress make me look fat? Right? You know, you can't say the truth in that situation, regardless of what it may be. So for Tannehill, like, you could save yourself a lot of trouble. Even if it's not true, just get up there and say, like, oh, yeah, I'll take him under my wing. And then we could save ourselves all this drama.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think for Tannehill, the first play of that playoff game against the Bengals was an interception. And the last play of that game was an interception. So I'm sure his mental toughness is definitely being, you know, challenged right now. And especially with drafting Malik Willis. But I don't have a problem with it, man. Like, yeah, I mean, they're professionals. They're grown men. You know, they're going to do what they do. Just be a team. You know, if he asks a question, answer it. He will answer it. There's never going to be a time where he's not going to answer a question that Malik Willis has. Last thing here, Luke, obviously the draft happened, and it was a lot of fun, and there's obviously draft grades that are put out, and we sometimes mock the draft grades, but also, you know, give a grade, see how they did. But there is a lot of analysts out there that are already overhyping, you know, some players and teams, things of that nature. Like Mr. Dan Orlovsky. Now, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Dan. I love what he does for the game. But he said, I believe yesterday, that Packers fans are worried because the Detroit Lions are gaining ground on the Packers. Just read that back in your mind real quick and let me know, because I believe in the last 20 years we're about, you know, I think it's 28-5 against the Detroit Lions, the Packers, obviously. So I get they had a great draft, Aiden Hutchinson, Jameson Williams, and the other guys, they got phenomenal. But awesome for Detroit, because they're going to win 7 games next year, and that'll be great for them. The city will have a great time. But let's temper these expectations just a tad. The Detroit Lions are not gaining any type of ground on the Green Bay Packers, and that's my Packers rant for the day.
I do love Dan Orlovsky because he's the greatest quarterback UConn has ever had.
That's true.
And I grew up, you know, he was the first quarterback. When I was growing up, coming of age, he was the guy. I think both things are accurate, right? I think the Lions are – they did gain ground this offseason, the Packers. I think the Packers didn't have a great offseason. The Lions had a good draft. But I said the same thing about Clemson and South Carolina not too long ago. That, yeah, sure, South Carolina may have taken some steps forward, and maybe it looks like Clemson has taken some steps back, but it's like Clemson's on the 10th floor of the building, and South Carolina's on the first. So if South Carolina's gone up 2 floors and Clemson's fallen down 2 floors, you're still got a large gap. So I think the Lions have improved this offseason. I think the Packers, I think, have gotten worse this offseason. With that said, it's not like they're on equal footing or they're suddenly peers. The Packers are still much better than the Lions. They will be this year. The Packers should win that division, and the Lions probably will still be in last place. The Bears have a pretty bad roster. But the Lions, big thing, too, is the quarterback. They have Aaron Rodgers, you have Jared Goff, and until the Lions improve at the quarterback position, there's going to be a big gap, or until Aaron Rodgers leaves Green Bay, there's going to be a big gap between those two teams because of the quarterbacks.
And I agree with you, Luke, right there. I think the Lions did get better and the Packers got worse. There's no doubt about it, but I agree also with what you said. It just comes down to the quarterback play for me. If 12's on the field, I take the Packers 10 times out of 10. There's no doubt about it. Sometimes not in the playoffs, but we won't even address that. But let's just make sure that, you know, history tells us a lot, you know, especially like the last 20 years. Let's make sure we're not, you know, Detroit Lions fans. I don't want everybody to be so upset when they win four or five games. They got a top 5 pick, you know, again, the 7th time in the last 10 years or whatever it is. Let's just make sure we're tempering our expectations, much like Dabo and DJ.
Yeah, it's like we were talking earlier with the Jets. It's hard to trust the Lions, right? I mean, they're still the Detroit Lions. They haven't been good since Barry Sanders 25 years ago, and they haven't won a championship since, I think, it's the 40s.
They're a cursed franchise. I mean, they didn't pay Barry, and they didn't pay Calvin Johnson. Until you pay those guys without asking them to do community service hours for you, then, yeah, you might be a good franchise, a respectable franchise.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what Dan Campbell can do there. And we'll see what your boy Dan Orlovsky says next. Hey, we got these tickets to give away to the Charleston Battery. The game is Friday night, 7 o'clock. We will send you the tickets. We got the tickets. We'll send them to you. You don't have to come pick them up. We'll send them right to you. You'll be able to go to the game Friday night. It should be a nice night Friday. They're taking on, Memphis 901 Friday night, 7 o'clock at Patriots Point. It's always a fun time going to these games. Real simple. Just be the third caller now. We'll give you 2 tickets to Friday's game with the Charleston Battery. It's almost sold out if it isn't sold out already. So if you want to go, we have a chance we have an opportunity to send you there. 843-721-9500. 843-721-9500. Third caller now. We'll give you 2 tickets to the Battery game Friday night. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. If you aren't our lucky winner of the Charleston Battery tickets, go get yours online while you still can at charlestonbattery.com before they sell out, if they haven't already. The game's Friday night at Patriots Point. Should be a fun time. We just went through Trent's takes last segment. If you ever missed anything from the show, catch on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston. However you listen to your podcast, Trent, I want to get your take on these games, because the NFL just released their international games for the 2022 season.
Here we go.
This is the first part of the schedule. We'll get the full schedule. I think it's a week from tomorrow. I'm sure it's going to leak before then, but that's when they have the official the show on next Thursday night, and they'll run through the full schedule. So this is all we got so far, the international games. Now, because these games are in other countries, they're in the morning.
Sure.
So football fans like us, you know, like I watch these games regardless.
Yeah.
But just say you got something going on a Sunday.
Sure.
Or you want to sleep in. The first international game is October 2nd, the Minnesota Vikings and the New Orleans Saints in London. 9:30 kickoff Eastern time. Do the Vikings and Saints get you up early to get you to the TV?
I think so, Luke. I think so. I'd be interested to see how New Orleans does. You know, they have a new head coach. See how he, you know, reacts in a new country, to see if he can win a football game. And your Minnesota Vikings as well. You got two young coaches, two new coaches coming in there, seeing what's going on. Let's see if Justin Jefferson, you know, can get a touchdown, do the gritty in London. I think that'd be pretty cool.
And this is about a month into the season, so it's early on. This will be the third time the Vikings have played in London. The last time they did, I had a wedding the night before, which was actually a Vikings fan getting married. And they scheduled the wedding on a Saturday night when the Vikings were playing at 9 a.m. the next day. Ugh. You know, you're up late at the wedding. I had to get up early, watch the game. We're not feeling too good the next morning watching the Vikings. And they played the Browns were terrible. And unfortunately, the Vikings won. Anyways, the following week, October 9th. I know you're getting up for this one. 9:30 in London. You got the Giants against the Packers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Going to get up. Going to see A-Rod sling some balls over across the pond. And that's what I want to see. Sorry, Giants fans. Sorry, Giants. I mean, the Green Bay Packers own London. So, thank you. See you later.
This is really interesting to me because Giants-Packers, now I know the Giants are not the team they were just a few years ago, but Giants-Packers, this I believe is a home game for the Packers. So, Giants-Packers at Lambeau is, you know, that'd be a pretty good game, and they're moving that to London. So maybe it's either the NFL's finally throwing London a bone, or they just don't think much of the Giants this year.
Just send the Jags over there every year.
I mean,
what are we doing?
That takes us to the next one in London. And this is the first ever ESPN Plus exclusive game. You'll only be able to watch this if you have ESPN Plus.
I'm excited for that.
October 30th, Halloween weekend. It'll be the Broncos and the Jaguars in London. Ooh. Russell Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, Halloween weekend. You're getting up early on a Sunday to watch that.
I think I will, just to see, you know, in London, how the ball travels for what Russell Wilson, because we know he's going to be at Mile High coming up soon, Luke. So you know those moonshots that Russell Wilson likes to throw are going to be flying at altitude. Let's see how he reacts, you know, to the London thin air.
How about that, though? ESPN Plus, Trevor Lawrence and Russ, both draws. ESPN Plus, they want that game.
Wow.
So it's only going to be on ESPN Plus. Then they play in Germany on November 13th. We got the Seahawks against the Buccaneers. 9:30 kickoff on a Sunday, middle of November in Germany. Are you waking up early to watch that one?
You know, Luke, I probably will, just because I don't have too much of a life outside of sports, you know. I think we're both kind of in the same boat there. But, you know, that's a tough one, because personally, I'll make a hot take right here. I don't know if Seattle's going to win three games next season. So I think the Bucs will go in there, handle business. But it would also be funny to see, you know, Tom Brady go to Germany and then lose to the Seahawks, who at that time probably will have one or two wins.
Yeah, this is probably the worst of the international game matchups.
Yeah.
Lastly, Mexico City, November 21st. This is actually Monday Night Football, so you don't have to worry about getting up early. I think this is Thanksgiving week. I think this is the Monday of Thanksgiving week.
Oh, wow.
The Niners and the Cardinals, Monday night, Mexico City. Are you making sure you're home on that Monday night to watch that game in Mexico City?
10 times out of 10. And we do forget, Luke, like, English soccer fans are unbelievable. They're the best fans in the world. They sing the entire time. And they're similar when the NFL comes over there. But also, you know, Latin America, South America, they love their soccer, Luke. Absolutely. So I'm going to tune into this. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, it's a little close to home. Obviously, San Francisco, I'm sure you got some fans down there. So it's going to be pretty loud, pretty rowdy on a Monday night football game. I will wake up, or I will stay up for this one.
That's probably the best of the bunch.
Yeah, no doubt.
I don't know if it's still ongoing. I think it was still the case this past year that we never had two teams play in London that both had a winning record. Like, the games are historically bad when they go international.
Yeah, so, what was it last year? Jags and Falcons? Like, if I'm not mistaken.
Something like that, yeah. They're always terrible because they send bad teams. All due respect to London, right? The NFL wants to expand the sport, but they figure these other countries don't know any better. We'll give them the Jaguars. So this year you get in London the Vikings, Saints, Giants, Packers, Broncos, Jaguars. The Packers are the final team, finally, to have to play in London. It's about time. Stop favoring those Packers. So they have to give up a game from Lambeau and go over play in London.
Well, I mean, we've seen that Lambeau in the playoffs, like, apparently it doesn't mean anything. So I'm true. A little out on Lambeau Field right now, Luke, as far as the fanhood goes.
That's why the Packers finally agreed to it. They said, you know what? We actually don't have that big of a home field advantage, sir. We'll give up a home game and go to London.
A team from California came in there. It was snowing, Luke.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That was a bad loss. Michael asked if we made the millionaire pies. No, not yet. We have to wait to see. I'm not going to make them. We're going to have to try to buy one. Hopefully they sell these in stores. Once the Penguins or Oilers go further than the other. And we'll pay off that show bet. We'll wrap up your Wednesday when we come back. It's the More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers. Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Where would you be now?
Wrapping up your Wednesday on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. You can always take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go. Just simply stream us online at charlestonsportsradio.com or through TuneIn Radio, your smart speaker, or our free app. Search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. And through the app, you can not only listen to the show live, but also on demand from anywhere in the world. The podcasts are available through our app, ESPN Charleston in the App Store. You can also find the podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston. And also online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Just click on our show page. The podcasts are there. May 4th. Today is May 4th. So you have to hear all the Star Wars puns and jokes. I am not a Star Wars guy. I've made it clear over the years here on the air. Growing up with the name Luke, it wasn't great. The amount of times I hear Luke, I am your father, and all the other stupid Star Wars references. Plus, I've seen some of the movies. It's just not up my – I don't find the movies interesting. But this got sent to me, that Firehouse apparently is giving away free sandwiches today. I don't know if this is true or not. To anybody named Luke, Leia, like Princess Leia, or Ben? I don't know if that's true, but I'm going to go find out. Let me tell you. And maybe for the first time in my life, Star Wars will actually have a positive impact on my life. Get these silly movies out of here. Got to hear people telling me they're my father. I was such a confused child. I don't know who my dad was. Everywhere I went, people were telling me they were my father. I thought, wait a minute. Is there something I should know? Stupid Star Wars movies. Get those out of here. But hey, if I get a free sandwich out of it today, it's not too bad. Hey, I'm out of here for the rest of the weekend. I'll be back on Tuesday, and we'll do it all over again. I'm sure we'll have plenty to discuss from whatever occurs over the next few days. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast. We'll be back Tuesday at noon. In the meantime, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. And now we say goodbye. We'll say hello again next week, Tuesday at noon. Enjoy the next couple of days. It's the More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.